This is Hal. This podcast comes with a warning. Anyone with any sense, reason, or understanding of rugby league is advised not to feel insulted by the happy clapping caveats that will inevitably occur over the next hour. These statements have been carefully manufactured to create the impression that everything is perfectly acceptable, despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary. Should you require counseling, reassurance, or assistance coping with these levels of relentless positivity, please contact the Warrington Happy Clappers helpline on Clappy, Clappy, Fitzy Clap, 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 Fitzy Clap Clap. Alternatively, please seek a pep talk from Sam Burgess. Apparently we are being pragmatic, and once we get Luke Yates back our post-contact meters will be fine. Thank you. And what a load of bollocks.
I'm Rob London. Welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, as this week marks the 101st anniversary of the publication of Mein Kampf, where are my two podcasting ideological extremists? Firstly, had Adolf's political autobiography been written by this old lad, it would have contained 17 caveats, 43 statistics, and a footnote explaining that the invasion should only count as an away fixture. Welcome, Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, his manifesto stretches longer than a video ref's decision, yet somehow contains an even more incoherent conclusion. Please don't mention the war. It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
How are we, boys? We all good?
Yeah, Sam's holding up a drink of alcohol by the looks of it. What is it, Sam?
It's Guinness in my London Broncos Cup.
Oh, that takes you back a few years, doesn't it? That one does. That could be the Tony Smith era, was it? Or Steve Price, one of the two?
It was Steve Price.
Steve Price.
Trail Finders.
Talking of prices, I expect the prices were quite high because you sent me a video through, Sam. So you were at Lim Rugby Club at the
Festival. I was indeed, yes.
Yes, good exactly. To see. Mrs. Sankey looking stunning. And you were on like hay bales as well, by the looks of things.
Yes, it was. It's like in the middle of the countryside. I mean, the countryside is currently ablaze. We're having to shut the windows because there's that much smoke coming in from these wildfires. We're getting a touch of Australia up here in the northwest. It was a lovely evening. I tried hard to drink away all the memories of 24 hours previous.
Oh, dear.
How did you get on, dear. Sam? Did you drink quite a lot of gin then, gin festival?
Yes, but we managed to get a lift home. I was home for 9:45 to sit myself down ready for the football.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Yeah. And Dennis, you're looking a nice shade of
sunburnt,
brown there.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he's looking really. Yeah, Hollywood tan there he's got going. Where have you been?
Yeah. This week, we've been near Salcombe in Devon campsite. Went to a little pub and there was a weird band on there. So we were doing the conga about the time the football was kicking off, in and out of the pub. So good frivolity. And I caught the sun because I was outside for a while. I mean, you want to see me feet? I mean, it's pretty two-tone, actually, now. What about you, Rob? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Went to the Archibald Prize this week. It's Australia's most prestigious portrait painting award. Uh-huh. It's to be a portrait of someone renowned in art, science, politics, sport, etc. It is kind of Australia's biggest cultural event. It's kind of renowned for...
Mrs. London dragged you along, did she?
She did. It's kind of renowned for like sparking debate about, you know, artworks and the choice of the winner. It's a very highbrow, distinguished panel that votes. And it included a vote from Mrs. London.
She is moving up, isn't she?
There was no like pineapple and cheese on sticks or anything like that, you know, and I'm making my way around the room, etc. And then she came over to me and she said, the contrast in your life, my dear, you know, one minute you're here with the Prime Minister, and then the next minute you're recording out to that shite that listens to this. So yeah, it's really, really.
I have to be careful when I put a pineapple out on a campsite because that has connotations for swingers.
Does it really?
Yeah. If you put a little flag out or something with a pineapple on it, be prepared for the knock.
Right, well, let's move on then to the Wigan review. The team was Webster, Hopewarty, Smith, King, Ashton, Irwin and Hayes in the halves, Thomas, Walker and Byrne in the front row, Bentley, Harrison and Curry in the back three. Interchange bench was Sipley, Wood, Hartill and Tanganawa. Here's the highlights.
It's a heartache, nothing but a heartache.
In there to make the tackle, it's back with Irwin again, a little miss out pass, and the first try of the night could well be Halbert. Hopewarty, big reach, acrobatic finish.
Nothing but a fool's game.
Here comes Hayes and Irwin with a dummy and the scamper and a reach. And he's got over, you know. He's got over.
It's a heartache. Nothing but a heartache.
And 10 minutes, Bentley. I think it's just an accumulation, isn't it? Set of six after set of six. Yeah. Three of them on the bounce. Then it's a penalty and Bentley's in the sin bin for the next 10 minutes. O'Neill again, Mago stepping away from Curry, but they're hanging on. Mago's still battling, now he gets it away. Ball shoved out to Smith, they've got space here, but the step back on the inside again from the young fullback, and Josh Cartwright absolutely scythes his way through. Kerr trying to force, oh, he's in! He's in! How was he allowed to do that?
Standing in the cold rain, feeling like a clown.
Smith, why? Missed out. Here he comes with Eckersley. And Eckersley slides in, despite the best efforts of Leon Hayes. Always missed out a couple, and a chance here for Ashton, and he might just have got it in. What a finish that was from Matty Ashton.
I need someone as much as I depend on you.
Kieran sticks it up there off the left boot. Austin Daniels certainly interested, taps it back, Wardle connects, here comes Smith, puts it back towards the middle, and a big effort again!
Then he lets you down. It's a fool's game.
Last play here, Smith's going left, and a long pass, and it's going to be Daniel! Austin Daniel, it's another first! Another young player finds himself on the score sheet in Wigan colours.
Oh dear. Final score, Wigan 30, Warrington 18. There were tries for Hopewarty, Irwin and Ashton. Irwin converted 2 out of 3. He also kicked a penalty. Referee was Noel Edmonds, and the attendance was 16,621. Now, before we start, what is Noel Edmonds' real name? Because that is the most fucking ridiculous haircut I have ever seen on a grown man. What is he thinking?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's character. You know, like when you want to get character building in sport, he's Noel Edmonds.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
He's doing. He's getting reputation.
Oh, God, it's absolutely awful. I have thought about it, and I thought, what would be our famous 13 hairdressers, if we were to put a team together. So I've written it down.
Is that, yes? Oh, you've done it. I was going to say, is that for another week?
I'm trying to fill in on the Wigan result.
Yeah.
fullback, I've gone Vidal Sassoon. He revolutionised hairdressing with his geometric cuts and iconic bob.
Mm.
Rightly. On the wing, I've got Trevor Sorby. Anyone know who he was?
No, not a clue.
Four-time British hairdresser of the year.
A lot of these we don't know.
Yeah, I think he does cool cuts, being his Trevor Sorby.
Right.
Very good.
In the centre, I've got Nicky Clark. Remember him off the TV? Mm. Celebrity hairdresser, TV personality, high-profile London salons. I've gone local. I thought we needed some kind of...
Diana?
I don't know if you did Diana. Gone for a local, because you probably need, in sort of salary cap, you need someone like homegrown talent. So I've gone number four, Anton Johnston. Gone in, I think he had a hairdresser's in Stockton Heath, if I remember rightly. Charles Worthington on the wing, celebrity stylist whose salons and products became household names. You got lots of those, Sam? Yeah, no. Number six, I thought I needed someone really to steer us around the park. Probably the best hairdresser I've ever known. And that's Mrs. London Senior. Cut my hair for free from the day I was born to the day I left home.
I heard a bit of that as well. A bit of homegrown talent.
Yeah, exactly. Daniel Galvin at seven, legendary colourist, famous for styling Princess Diana's hair, Sam.
Oh, right.
Let me see. Errol Douglas in the front row alongside Joe Hansford and Josh Wood. In the back three, I've got Andrew Collins. He was a Liverpool-born salon owner, educator and television hair expert. And then my two international signings at 13, Alexandra de Paris. He was a legendary French hairdresser. And Jen Atkin, who currently cuts the hair for the Kardashians at 13.
So. No place for John Frieda then? That's
no.
A shocker, isn't it?
I thought about that, but just didn't have the cutting edge put in the team.
Very good. Yes.
Yeah, right, then we can't delay it anymore. Okay, on to the game. Sam, over to you.
I didn't know how to approach this tonight.
No.
I didn't know whether to rant. I didn't know whether to cry. I didn't know whether to make excuses or what.
Sorry, Sam, did you go to the match?
No. I had a problem. I had a problem with my little old mother.
Oh.
And she's all fine, but I didn't finish there till 10 past seven. And so I thought, So I got home. Opened myself a nice bottle of rosé, got myself set up. Mrs. Sankey said, "You sit there, I'll get some food for us." Okay. And after 12 minutes, I'm absolutely delighted, thinking, why didn't I get there? I could have made it in 50 minutes from my mum's. And after 80 minutes, I was so glad I didn't go. Mm. We had a perfect start. We had an absolute perfect start. Two good tries, Irwin prominent. We had 100% completion. We dominated possession. And then we contrived to kill ourselves at every possible opportunity, starting out with my best friend, Bentley, giving away a silly penalty because he just wanted to have a little niggle and pull someone's shirt.
There was nothing in that. I mean, absolutely.
I'm not on about the yellow card. I'm on about the first penalty. He just grabbed the guy's shirt and just pulled him down and piggied them upfield. And then it went six again, yellow card. And it wasn't much in it, Dennis. You're right. There wasn't much in it. But it's always him. Wasn't it the Man City striker, Balotelli, who pulled up a shirt?
Don't try and bring football.
Why always me? Well, why always him? I'll tell you why. Because he's an idiot. But not only him.
It wasn't just him.
He has, hasn't
he? Yes, it is. Yeah. It is.
Was this post or pre-gin night?
This is pre-gin. This is pre-gin. I'd probably only had half a glass of wine by this time.
Was there any
talk of
rugby league at Lim Rugby Club? Is that a dirty word?
Briefly.
Briefly.
Briefly. Okay. Briefly.
Right.
We were talking about the difference of money in the game, because they've had the pitch levelled and they've had an awful lot of groundwork done.
What a limb.
And they're selling part of the land for five detached houses, which is going to pay for a new clubhouse. Oh. You know, so it's
different.
How did they level it? Did you ask that question? How they levelled it?
They built it up. They built the corner up. So you go down one side, it's all piled
they took
up.
The corners off the Bradford pitch and took them over there and built them up with
That's
that.
Exactly what they did, Dennis. Yeah. That's exactly what they did.
That's very good.
But actually, Dennis, while I think about it, last week we spoke about Ashton. I said I wanted to see more from Ashton.
Oh,
and
yes.
I reflected on that because you said, how can you have a go at his effort? And I didn't really mean, I suppose, on reflection, I didn't mean I was having a go at his effort. But in the first half, I think that's what showed where we're not quite at it. Harrison made a break. He passed out to Ashton, who couldn't quite get there. It was on his fingertips and he dropped the ball.
Mm.
And it's probably as a result of his long layoff with a serious injury. I just don't think he's quite up to speed. And I think that's what I meant rather than effort. I didn't mean he wasn't putting effort in, but I thought that summarised.
Oh, glad you've. I haven't slept all week. I'm glad you've cleared that up.
I think this is our first post-contact caveat that we've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, he's really followed up there with the post-contact caveat. Rob, what about you? Did you get to see this?
I don't need to set my alarm because my internal Warrington Wolves clock goes off somehow. It didn't go off. My bladder went off at about 5 to 5. The game was on at 5.
That's unusual. Yeah, it's usually connected to your arsehole, isn't it?
Exactly,
as well?
Exactly. So I went and had a piss and I came back to bed. I've been watching a lot of the World Cup and I've been really enjoying it. I have to say the times here have been brilliant. So really been enjoying that. So I was pretty tired. So I did turn it on. But I think a combination of watching so much World Cup and enjoying it, the fact I was tired, the fact I'm tired of Warrington and how they're playing, I sort of dozed off. I got to about 12-0, I think, but don't remember anything of it. But didn't go to sleep thinking we've won the game. I wasn't surprised at all when I woke up to see we'd lost. So I kind of scanned through it. But, I mean, do you want my conclusion on where they're going wrong? I mean, I can tell you the problem. And it's the props. They haven't got any props. And I think this bleeds into a little bit about Ashton as well, which I've come on to, but you've got, you know, average gain a game was 3.46. Warrington's average gain was 2.84. That's a significant difference. Mm. And the narrative seemed, I looked down through the Watt Bevan WhatsApp group, and the narrative seemed to be, was why do Wigan get all the big young lads and we don't? Mm. And there just has that feeling about it. So I thought about it. And I thought, I don't mind Burn. But Byrne needs to be your fourth prop. But if Byrne was our fourth prop, I'd be like, that's not a bad forward pack. The young lad, God, he tries, Thomas, but he's 2 inches too short and he's £20 too light. I would like to see Thomas as my fifth prop and probably just trying to push in and bleed into the team. But we haven't got any starting props. Sipley, at the start of the year, I came on this podcast, and after 5 minutes of speaking to two Manly fans that I know, both said he's not good enough. Couldn't wait to get rid of him.
To be fair, they did.
So then I think, well, who's in charge of this recruitment, and why do we need someone in recruitment? He's clearly not. We've got two props guiding our recruitment in Burgess and Chambers, who I think both haven't got the IQ to understand how to recruit. I feel sorry for Burgess. He's standing there now. We've got to that stage where, you know, he's having to say he's been pragmatic and will bring players back. Who's he bringing back that's going to change this team? I think the back line is tarnished by the forwards. And no one's getting sucked in. No one's having to come in and be the third man to make the tackle. So players like Ashton, they're not passing to him because they can't get the ball out to him because there's no room. So I don't think you can blame the backs. I think the backs would be significantly better behind a good forward pack.
Mm.
And Yates picks his spot and he makes his meters, but he's not making impactful meters. And I thought, well, who does he remind me of? And I thought, he's not Danny Nuttley. He's not Phil Sumner. He probably fits just below those two and above Gary Tees for being a short prop. That's what he is. So is Burgess is coming out with his excuses. He's been dealt a bad hand of cards. But he's been there 3 years. So he's got to have had influence on recruitment in 3 years. It's not like he's walked into this now. We're 36 months down the track.
Do you not think, though, that he sort of, with the team he's got, he did actually get a performance out of him, and it was a lot closer than we thought when, you know, as we were talking last
Well,
week.
I mean, let's have a look. They had seven players under the under 20 or under. We had five. Their average age was 23.9 years. Ours was 25.1. He's a motivator, but I think his tactics are limited. But I think you've got to move away from the pitch and say, who on earth is organising our recruitment? Where is this imbalance coming from? I just feel that every time we sign these players, they could call me and I could just waltz off to my mates in Sydney and say, is he any good? And they go, yes. But I'm not joking, Sam. I know more than they know.
I know.
I know more than that lot.
What about the bloke in the warehouse? Would he be...
The bloke in the warehouse would be perfect. He knows football in and out. I spoke to him yesterday. He's been down at Brookie at 4 o'clock. It's like there's egos in the way and they won't admit to their mistakes. They won't admit that they keep getting it wrong. And it won't change until they make senior improvements in that management structure. And until then, you can't blame this lot because it's not this lot's fault. They are putting in a graft. They come off that field black and blue, but the recruitment, overseas recruitment, is utterly dog shit. Utterly dog shit.
Now, I'm glad you've said that because I would wholeheartedly agree that I don't see anyone, maybe with a very rare exception, not putting effort in. So I'd agree with that. I'm glad you said that. And I think that's important to point out. We're not saying no one's trying, but you're right. There's no... crudely, without trying to find any special words, there's no oomph there, is there? No. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I can't think of a better way to describe it. There is no oomph.
There's no searching going on. He's not ringing around Australia trying to find props. The way that it works now is the agents are continually calling Super League to basically get rid of the chafe. That's what they're trying. They're just getting that, what they know they can't progressing and produce into an NRL team, they then offer to Super League. But we have no filter. We have absolutely no filter. It's awful.
Now there's Sam now, because he just necked half a pint of Guinness while you were speaking. Sent him over the edge.
We've waffled on too long, Sam and I. Come on, Dennis. Come on, bring it back round. I mean, you are leading the competition on predicting the table. So
firstly... you know, Johan Irwin has definitely been, you know, I'm starting to come round to the happy, happy clappers on the train. The first time he did a cutout pass to get Ashton, was it Ashton? I know he did a cut. No, Hopewarty for the first try. For the first try, which I thought was brilliant. That we need more of that. But, you know, that is dependent on having a bit of go forward. And then his individual effort was brilliant. We were 12-6 up at half time. And like I say, most of us thought we were going to get blown away. So I was quite buoyed by that. I think Ashton was also strong at the line when he got that last try.
Brilliant strength.
Yeah, he just went for it. Yeah. And then Wigan got that try, which was on the video ref, was short of the fucking line. I mean, even the commentator said it. It was like went up or something. I don't know if it was being checked. And they showed it from a different angle. He was short and it was on his arm. So I think that changed the game then. I think, that was it. You know,
so has he guessed that? Because clearly he can't see that. So how hasn't he got... How doesn't he have to send it up the way that he sees it?
No, not any. Well, sort
Or
of,
does he
but not
guess
anymore.
it? Is he a guess, or does he send it up how he sees it?
Every try is being checked in the background, so they clearly either saw something that wasn't shown again on TV, or they didn't check it properly, because they should have. While the Wigan guy was getting ready to take the kick, the video ref has the ability to tell the referee in his ear, say, "Stop it, don't let him take the kick. We want to have a proper look at this."
Yeah. So who's looking at that? Is that Mr. Blobby in the fucking video ref thing?
I don't know who it was this week, but there was a bit of bad luck in that 2 or 3 minute spell, wasn't there? Because there was that try given, and then Irwin scores, which subsequently was correctly given as a it was correctly given as a knock
Yeah.
on, but that was a big swing ground. But for me, it was just immediately after half time. We went in at half time, and I thought the game's there for the taking. The game is there for the taking. We could have been more than 12-6 up at half time. We had the Harrison break. We had Wood in the last minute going over the line, and the ball pops out of his hand. But the first minute in the second half, Webster makes a break, and what does Leon Hayes do? Who I'm gradually
Going off.
starting to.
Is he in this Sneed camp now?
He's gradually becoming the Snead camp. Throws a massive speculative ball that gets intercepted, and they score, and it's 12 all. And it's just self-destruction.
What's Ollie Leyland done to not get a start?
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I don't mind. When I say I don't mind, I noticed when he first came back into the team, I noticed the energy that Hayes brought in his first 2 or 3 performances compared to Snead's slower game. But yeah, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it.
No decent props. We've got a scrum half who's just slow and not good enough, and we've got an old man at six. And you expect, and we're supposed to win football games with that on the park. I mean, you can't underestimate what forwards do in a rugby league match for the backs
Yeah,
to be
and
entertained. And then you've also got two defeated halves as well. How have we got to this stage? Why do we continually look to the future and say, oh, next year it's going to be better?
who said that? Who the fucking hell said that?
I feel that the only way Warrington are going to win it is, you know, you said they lock a bunch of monkeys in a room and they'll eventually write the complete works of Shakespeare if you get a typewriter, and it'll be an utter fluke. That's how we'll win it. That's how we'll
Oh,
win
I'm
it.
not sure Danny Walker in that group would there'd be a missing string of DNA.
What's happened to Walker, Sam? Is he just he's just behind a beaten pack?
There was a Twitter spat, wasn't there? Did you see
Oh,
the
what's no?
screenshots of that?
Is anyone still on
No.
Twitter? Does that even
I don't I'm
exist
not
anymore?
I presume it was Twitter that I saw that someone pertaining to be Mrs. Danny Walker or his partner or whatever came, obviously couldn't resist, and someone was having a go at Walker, and she came on and say, "He's got two broken ribs and a dodgy shoulder. He's been playing like that all season. Lay off
Right,
him,"
well, there you
something
go.
like that.
There you go.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? The communication comes through Twitter or
Through
Instagram or
the
something.
wife.
Yeah,
Oh,
and you know what?
I can't corroborate it, but
Oh, that's
that's
it.
what
It's as
was
good
going
as
around.
that's it. That's news
Do you
gold
want me
right
to
there, because
to
that
bring
explains
up what I've mentioned in the green room before we started?
it.
Oh dear. Well, let's have a listen to Burgess post-match.
Sam, commiserations. A tough battle out there. Moments in it where you thought you could have won the game.
Yeah, probably agree. I think there was a couple of moments from both sides, you know, in both halves. I really feel like probably game we let go. We did have a great control of it, and then just, you know, ball discipline and you know, you give champion side like Wigan too many opportunities, they'll make you pay regardless of who they've got on the side. So, yeah, pretty disappointed.
It's obviously a tough 2 points to drop in this big battle for the top six. Are your eyes now on those around you who are chasing you in those top places?
No, eyes are firmly on who we are and what we're doing. So, you know, we definitely turned up to the game today with a better attitude, no doubt about that. But, you know, our execution was off a little bit, and if we had our moment again in certain areas, you know, and a couple of big moments, went, you know, big swings in momentum. So, you know, our energy was in the right place tonight, but just execution off.
Execution off. Any standout performances there for you tonight that you think are the ones to set the benchmark moving into next week?
Well, I thought, you know, you and Owen was sound again. Yeah.
Thanks, Sam.
Cheers, guys.
Jenna was at the Lancashire-Yorkshire T20 game.
Was she? Mm. She's had enough as well, has she?
Mm, okay. Yeah, she was doing a bit of cricket last year. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Now, I actually think Burgess sounded pissed off then. And not at the interviewer. I think he sounded thoroughly fed up that I think he knew we'd missed an opportunity to win that game and blew it.
Oh, all right, so did anybody ask him what he's going to do about it?
Yeah, I mean, I was really pissed off about it all, and I saw his interview and I just turned it off. I've had enough of it. And then I remembered that I had £600 on Wigan to win. So, yeah. So I'm almost considering if we do re-sign him, that we the podcast goes out on strike.
So that's not a bad idea. Going back to what you were saying before, though, like, you know, why have we ended up in this situation? We seem to be in this situation every year. But it was built on a very sort of rickety foundation, wasn't it? It was barely just, the house was just barely there as a, you know, with the props in place and so on, that we could do well. But as soon as you've got a couple of weak ones falling off, the whole fucking thing comes down mid-season. And I think, I said, fucking... well, I've said fucking a lot, haven't I? Mind you, that's because you wound me up in the green room. But, you know, I think really, basically, we're having a mid-season wobble. There's no expectation that we're probably going to win the next few games. This was always written off, and it's damage limitation. But we'll come onto the table in a minute. You look around it now, where it doesn't take a long time to drop down that table, does it?
No, we'll come onto the table then. We'll do the results and then come onto the table. Super League round 18 results. York 20, Hull 16, Huddersfield 14, Bradford 30. What's the point? Lee 24, Castleford 18, Hull KR 6, Wakefield 20. Big set of forwards at Wakefield. Catalan 6, Leeds 28. And then I think they've just down tools. St Helens 0, Toulouse 46. It does see Warrington slide a little bit down the table. We are losing traction now on the likes of Leeds at the top, who are on 30 points and clear. Then come Wigan, Wakefield, Wire in fourth, Hull KR, Lee, and Saints make up the top seven. I think we've written everyone off past that. Catalans to lose, York, Bradford, Castleford, Hull, and Huddersfield just on 4 points. Won 2 games all season, lost 16. I sent you I looked at the next 2 round results. And they were pretty easy to sort of work out who was going to win, Sam. There wasn't I think Leeds have had to go Leeds had to go to Catalans, etc. before, but Wigan were playing Saints during one game. I put down Wigan as a win, but I just tried to do it just based on who the favourite would be in each game. And based on the assumption if Warrington do lose to Hull KR and to Lee, we will be in seventh in 2 weeks' time. Now, I didn't allow in that equation for Saints to beat... I didn't put in that equation for Saints to beat Toulouse. So they are the one that's the caveat.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, they could still in their next two... Well, no, they won't now. So I think Warrington will be in sixth in 2 weeks' time if they lose to Hull KR and Lee. The Hull KR, he'll want a response. He was really annoyed at the game at Wakefield. He was fuming at them. So they'll bounce back. But, yeah, it's starting to look a bit more like what we expected. Our combined score in our mastermind game is 2. Sam now has two in the right place. I also have two in the right place, but out on front is Dennis with four.
Yes, his masterstroke of leads at the top of the table is paying
Leeds
dividends.
Has been his masterstroke for sure, for sure. Yeah. Are you looking at that table now, Dennis? Are you thinking that's how it'll finish, apart from Warrington maybe sliding a bit more?
No, well, it's interesting. There was something in something like, I don't know, one of the media things, Love Rugby League or something like that. They were looking at the in-form at the moment teams. And Warrington were like, you know, down the table over the last few games. I think we'd had a loss, win, loss or something like that. And it really does tell the picture, doesn't it? And I think we all felt this. We were a bit sort of high in the table. We were lucky to be where we are. But when you look at the games we've got coming up and the last four games, then essentially, yeah, I think we'll be dropping off for that sixth or seventh place. And yeah, I think the shakedown is starting to happen. I did think that Hull Kiara would have a wobble this year. I think that might be one of the places that they're in the right spot. Wakefield are the team that are way out and above probably where we've all predicted at the moment. And, you know, that just goes back to that point. I always bring it up, but Mike McMeekin, I mean, he's my go-to forward. He's, you know, we missed out on him, I think, when he was at Catalan and came back. We should have just gone for him.
The other point which we mentioned at the start of the year, which again we have to bring up now because it's clear, is that Hull KR were not going to offer Tanganawa 2 years. They offered him a year and we offered him two. And essentially we've got 6 months out of him and he's fallen off a cliff. I went to the park last week. The lad's been playing a lot of football and I tried to just kick a ball from the edge of the box. I pulled my hamstring, my calf. And in the process of doing that, I lost my balance and twisted my other ankle and had to be carried off the pitch. And I thought, it just catches up with you. Age catches up with you. And age has caught up with Tanganawa. He looks the part.
Can I just ask, your lad's about 9 or 10. Who carried you off and how many did it take to carry you off the pitch?
Interesting. There was two workmen in high vis were at the side of the pitch. So they carried me off. They're very nice. They carried me off. I was in that much pain I didn't notice because later James said to me, both those workmen were Japanese.
Interesting.
Don't see efficient. Many. I know, but you don't see many.
Because
workmen.
If they'd have been both Australians, they'd have just stuck there pissing the sides. Pissing but because they were Japanese, he wanted to be nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think you're right. I think Lee are going to pick up a fair few more points. I think the saviour will be Saints. Is he on his way out? Wellens has got to be getting. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Wellens isn't number two at Warrington next year. I mean, I've not known anyone from St. Helens that hasn't felt homesick since they've moved past Clock Face. So I can't believe for 1 second he's settled into Townsville. I can't believe for 1 second he's happy in Townsville. That would have been a massive shock when he got there. Massive shock. He's gone from basically probably every second person down his road being a second cousin to Townsville. They won't be able to understand him. I mean, the culture diversity from Townsville to St. Helens. Oh, my God.
Well, isn't everyone there, everyone's second cousin?
They won't understand him. I got a Scouse bloke who no one here can understand, and he sounds like Gary Chambers. I'm worrying it maybe when Gary Chambers is making these calls to Australian agents, they can't understand him, and he's picking up the wrong players.
I caught the last 20 minutes of that game, actually.
What happened?
I think they did down tools. They're going through a real crisis. They are missing far more players than us, similar and Wigan. They're missing the whole team.
Right.
But they did look like they're down tools. There was some of their more experienced players like Wellesby and Sirenan were making Hastings, mistake after mistake after mistake, and Toulouse were lapping it up. They could even have scored 60, really. They were toying with them. They really were. It was quite cathartic to take me out of that disappointment from Friday to realise there's always somebody worse off than you.
Have you got another word for cathartic, Sam? Because, you know, I think we're on the level of oomph. I think cathartic might be a step too far. You got another word?
Well, I'm just showing I can do both. I can do both sides of the thesaurus.
Right, well, give us another word for cathartic then.
It was quite...
Oh, Jesus. We got any of that elevator music?
Can I have another drink?
Go on, have another
drink. Yes, get another drink.
The London Broncos mug.
Have another
drink. Hold on, is it Guinness Zero?
Yes.
Oh, fuck off then.
Do you?
In second place, my runner-up, it's Michael Monaghan. The most influential overseas signing in the modern-day history of the Wire for me. Monaghan embodied the terms intelligence, leadership and game management. Signed for the 2008 season from Manly, the Australian initially played in the halfback role and soon made a name for himself. But it was the 2009 season that saw Monaghan become a fan favourite, and at Wembley in the Challenge Cup final, he produced maybe his best ever Wire performance. He completely controlled the game as Wire won their first major trophy for 35 years. His kicking game, organisation and composure made him only the second Australian to win the Lance Todd Trophy for Man of the Match in the Cup final. That was one of three Challenge Cups that Monaghan would win with this club, starting all three of the finals. Soon, there was a positional change to hooker, and this saw Monaghan become even more influential, acting almost as Wire's on-field coach. His quick service, vision and ability to dictate tempo became central to Tony Smith's attacking style. He was soon joined by brother Joel Monaghan, who played on the wing. In that 2011 season, as Wire finished top of the league and won the league leader shield, Michael Monaghan, in my opinion, was desperately unlucky to miss out on the Man of Steel award. But his two tries in the penultimate game of the season against Wigan helped secure that shield. 2012 saw a third Challenge Cup win and a first Grand Final appearance, followed up with another the year after. Ahead of the 2014 season, Monaghan was made co-captain of the club along with Ben Westwood. He made the decision to retire at the end of that campaign after 192 Wire appearances and 35 tries. But his organisation, dummying skills, kicking game and calmness under pressure make him one of Wire's absolute elite. Right, lads, can I just check? Is it Luther Burrell or Billy Magulius for number one?
Well, there's Daniel with his number two, which is Michael Monaghan. Mm. Really pushed him up the order there to number two. Mm. Good player. Ended up at Warrington, I think. He was at Manly playing in the halves, and he spat his dummy because they signed Matt Orford from Melbourne, and he got pushed into the hooker position. Yet, lo and behold, he then ended up coming to Warrington and ended up in the hooker position at Warrington as well. So, yeah. I did look at this table and I thought one player that he has left out, and probably rightfully so, was Kurt Gidley, who hasn't made it into the top 30.
Yeah.
So I had a bit of a look and I thought, what age did Monaghan come to Warrington? So Monaghan arrived at Warrington. He was 28 years of age when he signed for Warrington. At the time, Gidley was playing Origin. He played 12 games of Origin. He also represented Australia 12 times. Monaghan left Warrington at the age of 34. Gidley, do you know how old Gidley was when he signed for Wire?
I bet he was about 34, wasn't he?
He was 34. He was 34. Yeah. So Had we had a Gidley at 28, he was seen as a significant better player than Monaghan was. He was winning all the honours in Australia, but we just got him too late. It was a, I mean, he must have absolutely been a love that golden handshake. Did he only do a year at Wyatt Gidley? He surely didn't do 2 years, did he? At the age of 34?
Did he get injured in his second year? I think he got he played 1 year and then he got injured. I think and to retire. I think something like that.
I feel you might be right, or are we mixing up him and Wid have both had similar scenarios, didn't they? That we never quite got them.
Yeah.
Widdup's not in there.
No.
I think for me, perhaps Daniel has put Monaghan that high up because of his influence both on games and on the club.
Yeah.
You know, undoubtedly a good player. And when he moved to nine, he was part of that Smith team, played some superb games. I actually thought his semi-final against Wigan at Widnes was possibly the best half hour I've seen from a Warrington player. Just ripped him a new one from dummy half. Mm. But I think it was his overall influence that perhaps pushes him that high.
He was also probably our best recruitment officer because he brought in Joel Monaghan.
He did. He brought his brother in, yes.
Yeah.
And
interesting. And I don't think we can go past this little section without mentioning Daniel did a little joke at the end. Is he going to call our bluff?
Do you want to get yourself a drink now?
We could probably play like a Warrington recruitment call by bluff. We could give like Frank Muir an envelope and he opens it and it says Luther Burrell, and then he elaborates how wonderful Luther Burrell is, and we have to say, is that a bluff or is it? You know, we could do that with all the players. Michael Monaghan at one, and it says, reliable player, guide you around the park, professional. I'd be like, yes, I think it's that one. But there'd be a lot of bluffs we could open.
Well, there would be, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Work on that for next week.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Just the one news story this week. The NRL has announced the biggest broadcast deal in Australian sporting history, signing a 7-year media deal worth $5.3 billion. Fans will benefit from increased free-to-air coverage, plus every NRL game shown on Foxtel or KO Sports. There will also be greater investment in grassroots rugby league.
He's quite a businessman, that guy who's running the NRL, isn't he?
Oh, sorry, Mrs. London's just leaving. Love you, darling.
Here we go.
Could you say it a bit louder, because they don't believe you exist? So, did you hear that? Did you hear that then? No.
Didn't hear anything.
What, will you be able to make me tea later? Hello? Hello?
Home help next.
So to put that into some perspective, right, so that's about £2.75 billion.
Right, yeah.
The current exchange rate.
Yeah.
And if we remember, a billion is 1,000 million.
Mm-hmm.
The current Sky contract is £21 million a year.
Right. But small change. But they haven't secured... And you've got to say that they haven't secured free pizzas after the game, which Elston did, or get the name on the side of an Eddie Stobart van on the M62.
So to give some context, at where I work, our cash flow works so that I've got about £1 million available to put on deposit for 10 days.
I was going to say on a bet then.
I was thinking he was going to say a horse name.
Before it comes out for payday. So we do that and we get some interest. And it's just an immediate withdrawal account. We get 3.45% interest.
Right, very
so
good.
If you put right. 1 billion, if you put 1 billion in that instant access, it brings you £34 million a year, which is more than the Sky deal.
Well, do you think we're going to be getting any of that now that it's been announced? Because, like I said last week, that I think once that deal was done, they were going to then sort of.
I've heard they're going to give it just, I think, about 50,000 bags of sand just to build up the corners at Bradford.
Raindrops keep falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit those.
Oh, Samuel, you've not bought the lads up here on bicycles, have you?
Oh, I have, Ralphie. Team morale so low, I thought we'd take some inspiration from the Tour de France. Build a bit of resilience. Pedal up hill together.
Oh, rag and bone my arse. Half the squad struggle getting out of first gear.
No, Ralphie. Today's the inaugural Tour de Wellington. First stop, Hill Cliff.
Hill Cliff? Oh, the steepest hill in Warrington. Oh, Samuel, this lot need counselling to get over a defeat. Never mind a gradient.
But cycling's all about teamwork, Ralph. Pragmatically, everybody riding together.
Oh, teamwork? Oh, Liam Byrne's cycle chain came off before he'd even left the Golden Gates.
Professor Broomhead insisted on riding tandem with Mark Lomax.
Oh, my captain's challenge. Lomax on the front has aged 20 years before they've even hit the Wilders Pool Causeway. For goodness sake, Samuel, lower Leon Hayes's seat. He's already riding a BMX, and his feet are still swinging around like he's on a bar stool in the postern gate.
Oh, bloody hell. Tanganauer only did 400 yards, and he was completely exhausted.
His thighs were so big, Samuel. They were burning that much. Cheshire Fire Brigade declared him as a major incident.
I tell thee what, Ralpho. The overall leader gets the famous yellow jersey.
Well, round here, Sammy, it'll have to be called the Primrose jersey. Although, judging by this squad, nobody's fit to wear that either. Talking of jerseys, Sammy, who's wearing the Pacolka de... The polka dipper, the polka ducker, the who's wearing the spotted one?
That's not a jersey, Ralphie. That's Luke Yates, with his top off. Unfortunately, he's broken out in a rash from all the e-preservatives after eating three Halliwell Jones pizza twists.
Oh, chuckle socks.
Well, Toby King by name fancies winning the King of the Mountain.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. He couldn't even get over the sleeping policeman on Busey Road without asking for a hydration break.
Oh, poor James Harrison, Ralphie. He's punctured. He's as flat as a pancake, making an horrendous grinding noise and hardly making any grip or headway whatsoever.
Sorry, sir. Are we still talking about the rapid deflation of a bicycle tyre losing all of its air? Or another one of Fitz's marketing speeches?
Oh, young Danny Walker's lost round four. He tried to slipstream the pack round Bridge Thup.
Oh, I don't think Danny Walker could read the highway code without a few more illustrations. And anyway, they'd offer little wind resistance, Samuel. They'd struggle to create a draft opening a fridge.
Well, at least Captain George Williams easily went to the front of the peloton well for.
Oh, yes. What with his aerodynamicist nose. He's got more advantage than the drugs cheat Lance Armstrong.
I must admit, Ralphor, these bicycle clips are rather useful.
Yes. Any old iron. It's just a pity we forgot to clip Gary Chambers' transfer budget before the season started.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Oh, bloody hell, Ralphie. These cycling shorts are so tight. I'm chafing up. Pass me the Vaseline, will you?
Oh, I do apologise, Samuel. I appear to have used the entire top.
Why? What for?
Oh, well, Tanya Arnaldo had a double pair, she was spread all over the centre pages of League Express last week.
Anyway, Walfour, all that matters is the boys pragmatically keep peddling.
Oh, quite right, Sammy. Oh, because unlike the Tour de France, this lot have spent the entire season wearing stabilisers. Anyway, here's your copy of the League Express, Sammy. Apologies for the middle pages. They seem to be stuck together.
Well, sitcom, yes. I listened to this yesterday. I was going to listen back again. And yeah.
Got your copy of League Express, have you?
I don't really think there was any need for a couple. I think you could have left a couple of things unsaid and just to the imagination rather than do that. So I would rather
not
comment.
Make sticky pages work, Sam.
I would rather not comment much more than that for fear of litigation.
Oh, right.
Oh, right. Okay.
You used to be on a bike, didn't you? You used to be a bit of a cyclist. Seem to remember you had a...
Yes.
You know, your picture online was of you at some velodrome or something on a bike.
It was, Manchester Velodrome, yes.
What's happened to that? Yeah. Has that fallen off, has it?
It's like almost every other bit of exercise I used to do until 3 years ago.
Oh, dear.
One summer I stopped and I didn't start the next spring.
Ugh.
Has anybody cycled up that hill? Have you cycled up that hill, Sam?
Up to the cemetery. Yes, I've cycled up there a few times.
I nearly lost my virginity at that roundabout at the top of that hill. But I got anxious.
The roundabout.
You know, when you get to the top of Hill Cliff, and then you can sort of go around. It's got a very little, small, triangular grass.
You mean outside the cemetery? Outside the cemetery gates, like a turning circle.
Anyway, I didn't quite get my leg over.
What happened? What put you off?
I forgot. I just think I just got a bit of anxiety. Mm. So, a bit like England. You know, tomorrow it was more of a semi than a final. So. I lost my virginity at
Are you cutting this out now?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's
Nettledad.
I'm in the supermarket in the middle of the night and it's empty, just like on the fucking news. Maitlis wasn't cooking shit up. This is for real. There's your big ticket absentees. Obviously, there's no toilet paper within 3 miles of the building. You can fucking whistle for hand sanitizer. But there's also a gap on the shelf where there should be rice pudding. They haven't got rice pudding. They've just got rice pudding with raisins and cinnamon in it. Now, I didn't come in here for rice pudding. I don't even particularly like tinned rice pudding, but I've never seen a gap on a shelf in a supermarket where there's meant to be rice pudding before, and it does feel like an omen of something. So I pick up 3 tins of that cinnamon shit and I keep moving.
Welcome back to Tackle Gags, the section where we ask the question, is rugby league genuinely trying to grow the game, or is it just seeing how much weird shit it can get past if anybody anybody notices? I think when you look at some of the things that have been going on this week, it's been pretty comical, to say the least. This week, Bradford Bulls unveiled their brand new personalised fan wall for just £65. You can buy a commemorative tile, or if you recently remortgaged the house, you can get £120 and get yourself a big, large one.
Oh.
If you want to get a thing on there. Permanent tribute to your support for the years to come. Or until somebody at Bradford realises they're free building materials, given the price of roofing these days, don't be surprised if the wall starts mysteriously disappearing one at a time. But meanwhile, over at Huddersfield, the Giants, Ken Davey has stepped down after, I didn't put how many years of service, because I don't know, he's been around for quite a while. I think he's 85.
God bless him.
And, I think it was about 30 years, I think, Dennis.
Yeah.
About 30 years.
And our friend of the podcast, Ralph Rimmer, is taking over the reins. Congratulations to Ralph, currently Director of Change. Great title there. Does anybody know what Director of Change is? No.
Is that like 5p and 2p and 20p?
Oh, well, yes, it probably is, isn't it? It's probably him going round emptying the bloody, I don't know, fag machines or condom machines. Do they still have them? Do they have them at the stadia? I'm not entirely sure. Does anybody know? No. Sam, you're always in the toilets. What's in there?
I am always in toilets. No, they don't have them in the toilets where I am.
Okay. Oh, well, no one's getting a nobbing after a game. Minister of Portfolio, Head of Things, is proudly announcing also that they've secured enough IMG points to stay in Super League this week. Yes, after installing a brand new LED perimeter advertising system.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yes, it's worth 0.125 points for Huddersfield because they've got absolutely fuck all else going for it. So apparently that's worth better than winning rugby league matches, isn't it?
But they're not playing at that stadium next year.
Oh, right.
No, they've installed it. They're getting points for it, but they won't be playing at the stadium.
Oh, yeah, that's a fair point, because is that for the football, really, then, the perimeter thing?
No, I think they've put it in to get some points. But
so they're not going to take it with them?
No, leaving it there.
Oh, okay. Well, it got me thinking, anyway, if flashing lights are worth IMG points, what else could could they do? Now, the category for IMG points is fandom, performance, finances, stadia, and community. I did come up with quite a lot of things. I've got one for Sam for the stadium, an executive cheese board availability point, 0.15 points, demonstrates premium hospitality. There you go. Stilton might score extra. It's not Stilton for you, though, Sam, is it? It's Vashram. There you go.
Oh, yeah, I do like a Vashram, yes.
I've got
a little roll right.
That's enough for that. Put it away.
Hand dryer temperature rating. You're always in the toilet, Sam. What's do you use the hand dryer or is
still
it
got
pigtails?
The Draper legacy there, haven't we? He put the hand dryers in, did very well for us. Hot air, ironically.
I've got some fandom. I thought we could introduce average number of tattoos per season per ticket holder. What do you think about that? That'd be a good one. Demonstrates commitment to the club if it's you know, the club motif on your arm or your leg. So that's that one. What else have I got? Finance, number of wealthy blokes. Because I think, you know, with Ken Davey leaving, you know, you always need a wealthy bloke. But apparently he is still going to foot the bill at Huddersfield. So he's going to spaff all his money still. What else have we got? Percentages of sponsorship logos nobody recognises. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? Everyone's like piling them all on the shirts. Don't know what the fuck they are.
No,
it goes back to your point about, NRL, 5.6 billion. And we've still got like the local electrician shop down the road. I believe that electrician always calls everyone a cunt, but anyway, that's another story. One of the things that I've got down is performance, which is how many times a coach says you know in post-match interviews.
Oh, we've got some points here.
Yes, so I had a look at that, the you know index, and I got AI to just sort of look at the transcript. The interview length for Sam Burgess this week was 5 minutes, 15 seconds. 25 you knows. That's one you know every 12.6 seconds. So if you want to know what's going on... The point is, if you want to know what's going on, apparently you already know, you know. That's it. So by 2030, winning games will be worth 0.2 IMG points, but having heated toilet seats, artisan coffee carts, and a mascot with a verified Instagram status will guarantee Super League future.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Two games to predict before the pod returns. It doesn't get any easier. First up this Saturday, it's a home game against Hull KR. Kick-off from the Halliwell Jones at 8 p.m. Then the following Saturday, Wyatt head to Lee. This one gets underway at 3 o'clock. Now, I had a nice little win, £240, boys. Put money on the line for the Wigan game. So I'm up nearly at a grand again. Dennis, £110. Sam in the red at £94.96. He also caveat does owe the bank £100 from last year. Be keeping an eye on that £1 million he's got in his slush fund every week. Hull KR, they're looking to bounce back, I think. Coach not happy with their performance. They must be thinking this is the way to get it back on track, right? Peter Hicku is suspended, so that's a bit of a blow for them. Sam, I mean, won't ask you for your betting yet. I'm just going to ask you for your prediction. Are we going to win this?
Oh God, I'm at a complete loss to what we're going to see from 10 minutes to 10 minutes with this team now. Having seen us put little snippets of great play, not great, maybe that's going too far. Good play together, and then combusting for 10 minutes. I feel at some point we're going to click just out of the blue.
Are we?
At some point we're really going to click in a game. I mean,
You're not getting click wrong with snap.
Yeah, we might do that too. Well, that's the point. We could do either. We could do either. It could
Are
be
you
one
thinking
of them games
clunk,
where...
click? Is that?
Definitely not thinking that. Oh. Now, the bookies have us with an 8-point start, so they clearly think Hull KR are good favourites, and I can understand that.
Right. So we're going Hawke. We're all thinking Hawke AR for this one, are we?
Well, no, I'm going to bet on Warrington.
You're going to bet on Warrington. You're going to bet on Warrington.
I'm thinking Hawke AR will be proper.
So you're thinking Hawke AR are going to win, but you're going to bet on Warrington. Do you think this is why you've only got £94 left?
Yes, but there's no money in it, as you pointed out.
Then don't waste your money. Don't throw your money away if you're not going to win. That's just pointless, isn't it? Hey,
you can't get over here to make me pay it back.
What are we doing then? Warrington, how much are you having on it? Fiver?
Well, do you think we'll beat OKR up?
No, not a chance, because I think they'll be too big in the pack. Their pack will be too big. It'll dominate. We haven't got any props. End a game that you're not going to get anything from the backs until we buy some props. So no, it's definitely. And also our tactics are poor. We're not being coached well, so it's just a convoluted fuck fest at the moment.
I want to know if Sam's going to be there cheering him on, because if Sam's going cheering him on, then I think there might be a chance. Home.
I will be there. Yes.
Will. Okay.
How much are you having on wire, Sam?
I'll have £8 on wire.
£8 and your first try.
No, no, sorry. I'll have £2 on wire. £2,
so that will get you about £3 back.
And
Ashton,
£8.
Yes.
£8 on Ashton.
Ashton, yes, because you've been bad mouthing him, haven't you? I mean, it's nearly as bad as when you had a go at that Papua New Guinean bloke that you hated. Yeah.
I don't know anybody else who would hate Roderick Ty.
So Dennis, I mean, first of all, who's going to win, and who are you betting on?
Oh, right. Okay. Well, Hawke AR are going to win, so I'm going for a £1 wire bet.
Right.
And I'm going to stick with Thomas, but I'm going to go for £9 on Thomas.
Oh, £9 on Thomas. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. I did notice that Irwin was 33-1 to score the first try this week.
Really? Yeah.
I wasn't far off there, was I?
Yeah.
That's another reason why I was probably upset.
All right. Well, I've got a bit of money back because I won that money last week. So I'll have the £240 I won on Wigan, I will have on Hull KR to win. And,
Is
Bentley playing?
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I'll have a fiver on Bentley. There's fuck all chance of that coming in. Right, okay, so we've written them off against Hawke AR. Now, we then have to progress to Lee. Oh, dear. I mean, is there any hope for us here? Will anyone be back? Will
we
Luke
don't do
Yates
very well there.
Has he gone for the season? He's gone for the season, has he?
Yates has gone for the season.
Yeah. So who are these players that we're missing? Who are we missing that we're really, going to make a difference?
Stone's going to make the difference. I was about to say, who's going to make a big difference? Nobody. Who can make some difference?
A new coach?
Yeah. So who can make some difference, I suppose?
Stone. Who else?
Stone, Thewlis, Williams.
All those big Philbin. Props. All those big forwards. Philbin? Yeah. Fucking hell.
Oh, there's no need for that, Sam.
But they're not gonna make a big difference, are they? Let's face it.
Oh, that's good.
I'd be interested to see if Holroyd displaces Bentley.
Oh, God.
I wonder. That's gonna cheer
that,
you
that,
up.
That big second row forward. Yeah. Right. Great.
Well, Bentley's the lightest forward we've got. So now I'm gonna go Lee. Go £10 Lee.
£10 Lee.
And £1. Again. £1 on Ashton. Go on then, why not?
Pathetic. Absolutely.
I don't really care.
Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
I don't think we've got a good track record at Lee. I think we've struggled playing there. I mean, not even when we've been having, pretty good run of form, I think we've always slipped up there. I don't think we've got what it takes to beat Lee. So, £1 on Warrington for that one.
£1 on Warrington.
I reckon Thomas will double down and, put £9 on Thomas.
What did you have on Thomas in the first game? I didn't write that down.
£9. It's exactly the same, basically.
Fucking no chance of me listening back to this shit.
Right. Yeah, no, I thought that. So
you're going £9 on the first game and just £1 on the second game.
No, it's the same for both. It's basically
nine on,
a pound.
You've gone 1-9, yeah. 1-9. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go Lee. Now, there's not going to be much money on this, but it's a foregone conclusion. So I'll have £600 on Lee, and I'll have a fiver on Bentley. Yeah, fiver. Can I have first penalty a fiver on Bentley? What odds is he giving? What odds is he giving on that?
You won't get nothing back.
Oh dear. Right. Well, that's about it. But have we got anything else? So we're going to have a couple of weeks off. Sam, when are you buggering off on holidays? Is this going to affect the pod recording? What's going on? When are you going?
Oh, well, should we just record on loop? We could have won, but we didn't, and we're lacking some forwards. Yeah. I'm off to France right at the end of July.
Oh, right, okay, because I'm away as well. So, right,
I'm here.
Oh.
So Dennis will be doing he's going to be doing a monologue, Alan Bennett monologue podcast on his own for 6 weeks. Tune into that.
Oh dear. Yeah, I might get a slot on 40-20.
Oh, fucking hell. Okay, that's it. So by the time this podcast goes to air, England will have fallen short yet again or find themselves in the World Cup final against Spain. So until we find out, it's some people are on the pitch. Goodbye from me. They think it's all over from Sam.
All the best.
And it is now from Dennis.
We're seeing you.
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Got anything else? We've got something of any quality.
League Express.
League Express.